Well, hello again, Greater Turdville. It's Wednesday, not Thursday, and we're recording A to A 24 hours early this week, and you know, that's okay. We still got a big crowd, and we're going to have a very exciting guest for you this week, a return visit from my buddy and yours, Dr. Dave Janda. Dr. Janda, a very accomplished freedom fighter, let's put it that way, and someone who I'm proud to call a friend. Doc, thank you so much for stepping back into the A to A arena.
Well, I thank you for having me back on the best website on the planet Earth, that being tfmetalsreport.com, and I thank you for all the work that you do through your efforts at Turdville.
Oh, gosh. I just like being a hurricane, Cat 5 hurricane force in the internet blogosphere. That's
Well, you truly are, you know. And you really are. And you know what? I talked to you about this earlier today, but you know, I'm really kind of pissed that you were right, exactly right, yet again, on what is happening over the past 48 hours. I was hoping maybe for once you would be wrong, but unfortunately, you're right. You've been right.
Well, I guess I grudgingly accept that compliment. I mean, but it's why we have a site in the first place, because as long as you recognize that the banks are in there every day trying to screw you, basically across the board, but specifically within the metals trading, then all you got to do is anticipate, you know, what they're going to try to do. And go ahead, Doc.
Well, you know, and one thing on that, you know, they are just criminals of the lowest order. And yeah. I actually have been criticized for calling them sociopaths.
Oh, that's good.
But and in fact, I might actually be wrong on that. Actually, they're probably more psychopaths than sociopaths, because sociopaths know what they're doing is wrong. Psychopaths don't. And I think actually I haven't been fair to sociopaths. These folks are truly psychopaths. And you know, there was a comment on one of your other threads about, you know, the criminality, and you've had John Titus on the website before on your A to A, and I just had him on. I've had him on several times on my show, and I just had him on this past week. He has that great YouTube site, Best Evidence.
Yep.
And John, you know, we were talking about what the criminals and the banksters have been up to, and we got you know, the conclusion is that essentially there is no rule of law any longer. It's truly a rule of man, and depending on who the man or the woman is, you get a pass, aka Hillary. And if you're one of us, you know, they utilize the law to try to suppress and oppress the folks that are pointing out who the criminals truly are. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. And today is a profound example of the criminality, as we spoke of earlier. You know, in 2 seconds, somebody dumped 8 tons of paper gold on the market today. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And it's not only blatant, but they know that the cops aren't going to show up at the scene of the crime
exactly
when they do this. And that is the true definition of what John Titus was talking about in our last interview with him this past weekend in Operation Freedom. There is no rule of law. I mean, it's gone. It's absolutely gone.
We'll relink that, your audio with John from this weekend. You know, and I'll also put on this podcast page I don't think he has another one since, the one with the Queen of Hearts on it, or whoever that is, the King of, I can't remember, it's a playing card that is the screenshot on the video. And it's the one, I actually just referenced it in an interview I did this morning with a radio station in Denver. John's video that he put together, this is probably what, 6-8 months ago now, Doc, where he went back, he finally got, after 5 years, the minutes from all the Fed discussions in 2008, 9, and 10, all about TARP and how they just absolute bald-faced lied to Congress, to the media, to anybody that would listen in an effort to defend their banks, not the American people, not, you know, they didn't do anything to help the regular citizen. They were simply in there, the Fed was, doing whatever they needed to do to help their banks, and lying straight up to get it done.
And that continues to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is nobody that's currently part of the system that will even attempt prosecution.
Right. And why would you? You know, you'll end up shall we say, in cement shoes, if you do. At least it sure seems that way. But we can get there.
No, that's the case. I mean, you know, if you question the authorities in this country around the world that are essentially pulling the strings of these puppets in every government in the world, if you question them, you know, you're putting yourself out there as a potential target. I mean, I'm sure you get blowback. I get a lot of blowback.
Yep.
You know, and you know, you just have to decide, well, am I going to keep doing this or am I going to pack it in? And obviously both of us have decided, no, we're going to keep doing this.
Yep.
And I think that the more people that step up and take on these folks, the better. Because, you know, Craig, when you look at all this, you know, there are maybe, what are there, maybe 3,000 of these guys, 2,000, 1,000 of these guys that are essentially pulling the strings of all the other little puppets underneath them, and all the other little puppets are just afraid that something bad might happen to them, or they won't be able to get rich if they don't, you know, do what they're told to do. You know, there are hundreds of millions of us, for God's sake, billions of us. And our strength is in our numbers, and the strength is educating those numbers that they do have power over these people.
Right.
That's where I think we win this war.
Right, right. Or their system collapses, and we finally storm the Bastille. And now, again, for everybody listening, just some background. What Dr. Janda has been a healthcare, let's call it advocate, healthcare, better health and prevention advocate for his entire career. He's been an orthopedic surgeon specializing in shoulders. If you got a little bad wing, I'd encourage you to take a trip to Michigan before he completely retires. He's being forced out of that profession now by the onerous piece of legislation that's called Obamacare, and he'll soon be focusing almost entirely on this fight for financial and a regular freedom and liberty, let's call it that. Through his site, Operation Freedom, his great radio program, Operation Freedom, we've got him here for the next 30 or 35 minutes. This will be your chance to ask him questions as well. But Doc, just before we begin, tell everybody how and why, or remind everybody why it is that you are transforming yourself this late in life into, away from being a doctor, into being your true calling, an advocate for freedom.
Well, I graduated medical school 32 years ago, and I've been an active physician and surgeon treating patients ever since. And it's gotten to the point where the government has gotten so involved in dictating, operative word dictating care and treatment, and their formula is a rationed-based formula, which is a formula that I have fought against the insurance companies my entire career. It's just to the point where I can no longer practice medicine the way I was trained. After doing this for 32 years, you get pretty good at it. And when the government comes in and says, look, you're going to do it our way, and if you're not going to do it our way, we're going to penalize you and punish you. Early on, I got involved in healthcare policy in my career in addition to my prevention work. So we've done a lot of work in prevention in our And what we have found is the single most effective way of cutting healthcare costs, the most ethical and humane way to do that, we have found, is to prevent healthcare need and make people safer and healthier, focus on prevention and wellness initiatives. Just one of our studies that I was involved with in prevention a number of years ago, according to the government, has led to the prevention of about 1.7 million people from getting injured every year, saves $2 billion in healthcare costs every year, and we spend $1,000 once. The insurance industry, we found, was not supportive of our efforts in prevention, and the reason is because the higher costs go, they've told us directly, the bigger cut of the pie they get, which is why they've never supported our work in prevention, which is another reason why the government would never support our work in prevention, because prevention is about empowerment of the individual, yeah, not empowerment of a government bureaucrat or a government agency. So I've been involved in healthcare policy issues. Actually, Ronald Reagan was probably the only politician, one of the very few politicians, that got behind our work in prevention, and that was back in 1988, and we did a lot of work with him and C. Everett Koop and Jack Kemp, who was involved in his healthcare policy issues. We were making some headway, actually, in prevention back in 88. Then Bush 1 came in, and his you know, he was beholden to the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry, and our prevention and wellness initiatives kind of got put on the back burner. Clinton did the same thing. Bush, too, did the same thing. And Obama, forget about it. They all, as I've said before, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obama, they're all owned and operated by the same criminal banking syndicate, of which the insurance industry is a tentacle, as is the pharmaceutical industry. So trying to push prevention work with them was fairly useless. What we have found is when we get the information out to the public, they've actually tried to drive some of the policy, the public, and actually were fairly successful until Obamacare hit. And really, the key thing for the Turdville to know is Obamacare is really two parts. The first part was hidden in the stimulus bill. That's where the rationing boards were hidden and the enforcement boards were hidden. And then there was a second part of Obamacare, which was the health care bill. So the stimulus bill was passed in February 2009. The health care bill was passed in March 2010. And basically the reason why I'm against Obamacare is because it's against everything I've fought for my entire career, and that's the rationing of care. The heart, the soul, the core of Obamacare is the rationing and denying of care. And when I said that, Craig, back in 2009, 2010, I was demagogue. I had people coming after me. I had death threats. I had you name it, that I was making things up, that this is completely fabricated. When I said the premiums were going to escalate, when I said care was going to be cut, when I said insurance companies were first going to get in, and when their subsidies ran out in 3 years, they would be getting out and people wouldn't have a choice of insurance. People demagogued me. They despised me. They railed upon me. They called me a lunatic, a conspiracy theorist. But in fact, everything I have said since 2009 has actually come to pass and will only get worse.
Yep.
And the reason why I believe that is because in addition to Obamacare, there was another law that was passed in 2015 called MACRA, which is the short version of the Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act. And 99% of docs, Craig, do not know what MACRA is, but they're soon to find out. You see, MACRA was supposed to be a solution for renegotiating Medicare and Medicaid payments for doctors. What in fact it gave Obamacare even more teeth to ration care. Mm. So let me give you an example. The reason why I'm getting out at the end of December is because starting this year, they have started to implement Obamacare in its pieces, and MACRA has let them escalate that implementation quicker. I said from the very beginning back in 2009 that the minute the protocols went into effect of telling us how we had to take care of people, and if we didn't follow those practices, that the government dictated that we would be fined or penalized or in some cases even imprisoned if we continued not to follow their recommendations. I said, though, as soon as that goes into effect, I'm out. Well, it really goes into effect January 1st, 2017, which is why I'm out the end of December 2016. And what really gave teeth to this process was this MACRA legislation. And interesting, Craig, this was passed by Republicans and Democrats. And just to give you an example of how complicated this MACRA bill is, and it on top of Obamacare, about two months ago, my office manager came to us and she threw this 900-page book on my desk. And she said, "So, buddy, I bet you're happy you're getting out, because this 900-page book is the book of rules associated with Obamacare and MACRA."
God.
And the next day we got a 500-page book of the explanation of the 900-page book. And what it is, it's about the implementation of Obamacare's rationing programs. So, come January 1st, 2017, every doc will be graded, not on the outcomes you get on the patients you're taking care of, but on several things. The first is, are you using electronic medical records that are immediately being sent to the insurance companies and government? Well, we don't use electronic medical records in our office, and the reason is because we believe it's a security problem. It's been shown time and time again around our country that electronic medical records can easily be hacked and they can be utilized against people. So, for example, so because we don't use electronic medical records on a grading system of 0 to 100, we would get a 0. The second thing they've come in with are these questionnaires that we're supposed to hand out to patients, which our practice refuses to hand out. And some of the questions are benign, but some of them are, well, what's your sexual preference?
What do I
care? I'm taking care of your shoulder, right?
Another
question, do you own guns? How many guns do you own?
Uh-huh.
Do you keep them at home?
Right.
Where do you keep them at home? Well, I don't care if you have guns. Just don't take them and bring them into the office and shoot my staff or shoot me or shoot anybody else on the street. I don't care. So because we don't hand that out from a 0 to 100, guess what? We get a 0. And here's the third part that they grade you on. It's called resource allocation. And you're graded how much care you or treatment you give to somebody. So if somebody, after January 1st, 2017, somebody comes in to see me for a shoulder problem, and I say, take 2 aspirin and ice your shoulder, I get 100. Okay? Now let's say I say to that patient, you know what? You got a problem here, so let's give you an anti-inflammatory other than aspirin, and let's have you go to physical therapy. I now get graded a 70.
Come on.
Let's say I inject that patient's shoulder because they have so much swelling in their shoulder to bring the swelling down, and I inject them with some cortisone-like medicine. I now get a 50.
No way.
Let's say I say to the patient, you know what, you've had this for 6 months. You can't lift your arm. You can't work. You can't do your activities of daily living. You have a tear of your rotator cuff. You need to have surgery. I now get a 0.
Jeez.
And then here's what happens. They add up your scores. So I now get a 0 for not using electronic medical records, that the records are immediately sent to the government and to the insurance companies. I get a 0 because I'm not handing out the forms that they want me to find out about guns and sexual preference and all the other stuff. And now I get a 0 because I've recommended treatment for the patient even though they need the treatment. So my overall score is a 0. What happens? My payment of what I get paid is based on my score, number one. And number two, my score is published and given to every referring doc in our area. And the referring docs are, if you will, not coerced, but
they're
it really is coercion,
incentive.
But it's suggested that they refer to other specialists that have higher grades, higher number scores, because if they don't, then their own payment will be reduced
That's
per patient. So what this comes down to is one of the things we pointed out in the stimulus bill is there was this entity created, the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. And when I talked about that, there were many of the Obama zealots that came out and said, that doesn't exist, that doesn't exist. Well, in fact, in the macro legislation, it says that the electronic medical records will be sent to who? The National Coordinator of Health Information Technology in the government. Okay. And then I said, when I identified the rationing board in the stimulus bill, the Federal Coordinating Council for Comparative Effectiveness Research, which is a rationing board. Well, it's interesting what the Obama administration did when I outed that and kept outing it. What they eventually did, although we have all, and Eric Dubin helped with this, we got all the screenshots of the entity and when it was created and the members of this commission and all this kind of stuff. They actually deep-sixed the files. Obama admit they tried to scrub the fact that it even existed.
No way.
And still exists to this day. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because this Federal Coordinating Council is the one who's setting these rationing protocols of how you're supposed to be graded based on how much treatment you give somebody.
My God.
It's sick. It's sick. So here's what has to happen, Craig, to make this go away. Because I think it can go away. There are a number of us that are leaving our practices. And the reason is because if we continue to practice, we are, first of all, ethically, because we all took the Hippocratic Oath.
Right.
And a number of us believe it's a violation of the Hippocratic Oath we took if we practice medicine in this manner. That, in fact, as opposed to helping people, we're actually hurting people.
Yeah.
And part of that oath is to do no harm.
Right.
So from an ethical standpoint, many of us are stepping away and say, no, we're not, we can't work in this environment. We cannot do what's right for people in this environment. But there's another reason. Because if you stay in the system, you become very vulnerable to government harassment. By that I mean, they can come in your office, they can essentially shut your office down and start doing audits of your treatments of patients. They can harass your patients. So it's not just a pay issue, if you will, it's a what they can do to you. And some people say, well, you know, Janda, that's kind of paranoid. Well, as you well know, Craig, and most folks do in Turdville, you know, a couple of years ago, I went through a 9-month goat rodeo audit
right.
with the IRS.
Right.
And when my accountants walked in to talk to the auditor from the IRS, you know, I said, just ask this auditor exactly why we're being audited. Ask this IRS agent. And I go, my accountant said, well, what do you think they're going to say? I go, oh, I think they're going to be arrogant SLBs. I think they're going to say it has to do with his opposition to Obamacare and his radio show. And he goes, you know, Dave, they're not going to say that. I go, will you just do me that favor and ask? So Don goes to this first meeting, and he walks in and he asks him that question. I get a call from Don about 2 hours later. He goes, Dave, he goes, sit down. I go, why am I going to sit down? He goes, sit down. I go, okay. He goes, let me tell you what happened. He goes, I walked in and I asked the question you told me to ask, knowing they weren't going to answer it. And he goes, the auditor looked right at me and said, it has everything to do, it starts with his radio show. And he goes, Dave, I got the absolute firm impression that if you would just shut the hell up, this audit would go away.
It'd go away. Yeah.
And I didn't. I kept hammering him and still do to this day. But the point was, it became very obvious as the audit progressed that my wife and I were targeted because of my opposition to Obamacare, that I had outed the fact that half of Obamacare was hidden in the stimulus bill, that it was a ration-based program, and that Obamacare would implode. Now, here's the really bad part about this.
Great.
Is that the system, as we speak, is falling apart. I mean, all you have to do is just look at some of the headlines from this week, right? Right, Craig?
Right,
you know,
right.
And you've seen it yourself. Obamacare sticker shock. Average 2017 premium surges 24%, right? A third of the U.S. will have only one insurer offering Obamacare plans in 2017.
Right.
This is all stuff I predicted, right? But here's the other thing I predicted that is a problem. And actually, I actually saw it addressed actually on Zero Hedge through an article written by Joshua Krause. I was convinced after reading Obamacare, and I read Obamacare several times through, that it was a conjunction of the government and the insurance companies, which is truly fascism, getting together and trying to drain as much money out of the public as possible and then put them in a vulnerable position to implement a single payer system, essential national health care
right.
program.
Government pay.
And it's so bad, Craig, that I think their thinking is they're going to keep squeezing this thing. And as I said, the year that it really, really kicks in big time, where people are going to really notice about their treatment being diminished and their premiums even going up higher and their deductibles and co-pays even going higher, is in 2017. And that's not by mistake. Remember, I always said, where it's really going to get bad is after the election. And the reason is because nobody's going to be held accountable, and that's when they're going to try to take down the healthcare system. And in taking down the healthcare system, they're going to try to institute more control on people. And the way they're going to do that is by trying to implement a single player plan.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that Obamacare was designed to fail. And when it failed, to implement a single player
right,
plan.
Right, right, right. To fail in the sense that it's taking everybody down that road.
And the same psychopaths that wrote and devised Obamacare are the same psychopaths that are manipulating gold and silver on a daily basis. It's all the same
all linked
crew.
Well, Doc, fascinating. Everybody that just listened to you speak is out there going, well, yeah, that's kind of what I thought it was all about. Or maybe this is eye-opening for some folks. I just can't I'm just so glad that you're a part of this community, and I'm so glad that you're making the changes that you're making so that you can really pursue this with a much louder microphone through your radio program and your new website. But I do want to move toward the questions that I have for you.
Yeah, fire ahead.
The advantage of this platform, again, is it allows anybody listening to ask questions directly. So I've got two or three that were emailed to me, but also anybody listening, if you've got a question for Dr. Janda about his experience in working in the government, some of his what his contacts have told him there about how the socialized medicine works and what the end game might be, just type it in. There's a tab on your GoToWebinar control panel for questions. You just type it in and I'll relay it to him. But first, Doc, I've got a couple things that were emailed to me. First one comes from Tom, who wants me to ask you, since you regularly have Shiv Chopra, he was the former head of the CDC, the Canadian, what is that? What is
yeah, he was a Health Canada. He was in charge of the vaccination program, in charge of safety and efficacy of the vaccination program in all of Canada. It's an agency that is the equivalent of the FDA here in the United States. It's called Health Canada.
Okay. And we got a lot of Canadian listeners and site members, so they know what that Health Canada is. And so that gives this guy a great measure of credibility. The question is, given Dr. Chopra's knowledge regarding the risks of vaccination, are there any vaccinations that you, Dr. Janda, would recommend or administer to your children or future grandchildren when they are young? Are there any, is the question.
So I have two kids that are older, in their mid-20s. Both were vaccinated when they were young.
Right, mine too.
I'll tell you, as I've done more and more research over the years in the vaccination issue, and have had an opportunity to sit down and get to know and actually speak with Shiv Chopra, who I believe is a very courageous individual, who I know has been threatened almost daily based on his beliefs on a number of different fronts. I truly believe the vast majority of vaccinations, because of what's included in them, are not safe. Not safe. One more time. Not safe.
Like the preservative?
They put formaldehyde in these vaccinations. They put aluminum. They put a number of different entities, thimerosal, which is a mercury compound, all of which are toxic, neurotoxic. So the bottom line is that this is very contrary to what I learned in medical school and learned in residency and what the pharmaceutical companies are always sending you things about the efficacy of vaccinations. But in fact, when you do the research, Craig, and you look at who's doing the research and how much they're getting paid to do the research, and you look for independent studies, there are very few independent studies, if any, done on these vaccinations.
Yeah, it's kind of like global.
And I'm not convinced that the current state of vaccinations are efficacious or safe. Now, my one daughter, who has gotten her MD degree from the University of Michigan, and now she's doing her residency in anesthesia, says, well, Dad, I still think they're okay. Well, and I say to her, well, Allison, why do you believe they're okay? And I said, before you give me a study, I want you to tell me, look in the lower right-hand corner of that study and who paid for it. And I want you to quote me a study that's not paid for or linked to the pharmaceutical company that makes the vaccination. Well, she's a very smart woman. For 6 months, she's been trying to find a study for me that's not paid for by one of the same companies that makes a particular vaccination, no matter what it is. She has yet to find one. And she's like, Dad, you went through medical school 30-some years ago. I went through medical school 4 years ago, and we were both taught the same thing. And she goes, if you think about it, Dad, there's very few things that were taught the same way when you went, other than anatomy.
Yeah.
And she said, and then when push comes to shove and you look at these studies, there aren't independent studies that show this stuff is effective. And she goes, and you're right, and Chopra's right, if you look at what's contained in these vaccinations, She goes, I would never consume that stuff. So I guess the bottom line is that if someone's going to take a vaccination, I would suggest you if you're determined you have to take a vaccination, my suggestion is you get a vaccination that doesn't have any of these other compounds in them, like thimerosal or aluminum or formaldehyde. I mean, hell, when somebody dies, we plug them full of formaldehyde.
Right.
And they're in the vaccinations? What is that?
How do you
I mean, it's a preservative? What do you need a preservative for?
How do you find a vaccination that doesn't have all that crap in it?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you can find them, and they do exist. They do. If you go to your pediatrician for your kids and say, I want a vaccination that is preservative-free, none of this stuff, preservative-free, they can find them. They do exist.
Okay.
And they can get them.
Right.
And they might be a trifle more expensive, not much more. But as far as, for example, and I know this is heresy, do I get a flu shot every year? Hell no.
Yeah, I haven't had one now for a couple of years.
And if I gotten the flu? Hell no. But everybody else I know that got the flu shot, they all have gotten the flu. Right? And I'm exposed to a lot of people that are sick.
Well, and Doc, how long before, if you ask your pediatrician for the non-preservative vaccines, that's going to get logged into some file somewhere and uploaded into some, you know, right?
Right. So that's what happens in the future, right?
Right.
That you're a malcontent, you're a dissident because you're asking for vaccines for your kids that don't have preservatives in them.
Yeah, you're dangerous.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean your premium goes up? Does that mean your copays and deductibles go up even more? Does that mean that they're going to put you in a different formula to ration care down the line? Yeah, you see, it's sinister stuff. And this is why I trust nobody. I don't care if they have an R, a D, an I, or anything after their name. I trust no one in government to do the right thing when it comes to someone's health and welfare.
All right, Doc. Next question. And again, if anybody has a question, plug it in the questions tab. This other question was emailed to me. You mentioned the last time we spoke about turmeric, I believe, about being
I love it. Love it.
Inflammatory. This question is, what do you think of colloidal silver and its health uses?
So I can tell you I'm a big fan of colloidal silver, not just because it's silver, but actually silver has great medicinal properties. So, for example, if someone in our house starts getting a sniffle, they immediately – are given a couple tablespoons of colloidal silver.
Okay.
And their symptoms go away pretty quick.
How does it work? I mean, I've got a little colloidal.
Supposedly it gooses the immune system so that the immune system, if you will, becomes not hyperactive, but it becomes a better killer of viruses and bacteria.
Got it.
And you know there are a lot of medical products that are integrating silver in how they're built and how they're made because they're found to have great antimicrobial effects to them. So I'm a big fan of colloidal silver. Now some people take it on a daily basis. I don't. You mentioned turmeric. I do take turmeric on a daily basis. And the reason why I do, one reason is because I have really bad arthritis in my neck and spine. And I was taking a fair number in the years past of a fair amount of pharmaceutical grade anti-inflammatories. Well, you know, there are effects with those, you know, on the gut, on kidney, on liver sometimes. And I was getting a bit of the GI stuff, and a friend of mine said, you know, Dave, stop that stuff. Go on turmeric. It'll really help you with, you know, the pain you're having from your arthritis and blah, blah, blah. Well, I can tell you, I went on it, and I stopped anti-inflammatories, pharmaceutical-grade anti-inflammatories, and I can tell you the turmeric gives me a much better response. I rarely will take a Tylenol tablet. But what I do with turmeric, and this sounds kind of crazy, but the studies show that if you take turmeric tablets that have black pepper in them, it enhances absorption to a huge degree. You want to get as much absorbed as possible. I take at least 1,000 milligrams every day of turmeric. And since then, I occasionally, rarely will take a Tylenol. And I have really, really bad arthritis in my neck and spine. And it holds me just great. And there are other beneficial effects of turmeric, positive effects on the cardiovascular system, positive effects at preventing cancer, positive effects at smoothing out blood sugar levels, and then the other one is the anti-inflammatory side. I think if there's anything everyone should take on a daily basis, and I plan on taking it the rest of my life, is turmeric. Now, the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know that.
No,
they don't want you to do that. Okay, the pharmaceutical companies are happy with you, and it sounds sick, but true, are happy with you getting ill so you can take their medication.
Right, right.
And that's why, you know, it can be a treatment, but it also a preventive side, which is why I like it so much. But, you know, I have to say, you know, and this goes back to our work going back 32, 33 years ago with prevention. You know, Craig, there isn't any money in prevention. You know, there's nobody that comes to you and says, I want to give you money to work on prevention. You know, they don't. They don't pay it to do things from a preventive standpoint. And the only way you're going to find out about these at this point, thank God for the internet and the alternative media. And you got to be careful with anything. But if there's some health benefit associated with any product, it's important for you to try to do some legwork and some background work on, is it effective? You can talk to your doc. But I can tell you that when I talk to a lot of docs about turmeric or whatever it might be, they kind of look at me like I have a third eye in the middle of my forehead. And because you're not trained to do this in medical school, and the reason is because pharmaceutical companies spend a lot of money making sure that the curriculum is a certain way in medical schools. All you have to do is look at who the endowed chairs of are at these medical schools and the buildings associated with medical schools.
Yeah.
The Pfizer chair in anatomy, I mean, it's like, come on, you know. So unfortunately, your family doc and your internal medicine doc might know something about it, but the likelihood is they probably won't.
Yeah.
So the best information you can get is through the internet, alternative media sources. There's a lot of good information out there, and always look for the study as it relates to the particular entity if it's found to, you know, if there's a health claim to it.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Hey, by the way, thank you. You're being very generous with your time. We're already up to 35 or 36 minutes, so I want to get to the last couple of questions before time
gets
away from us. I have to answer because it's more directed, I think, at me. Larry wants to know if the Fed announces QE4 to get Hillary elected or to keep Hillary happy once she's elected, won't money flow out of precious metals and into equities like it did during prior QEs? And that is a function of currency trading. That is a function of whether the Japanese yen will be devalued faster than the dollar during that time period, as it was in 2013. So if that be the main thing to watch, Larry, we got to watch everybody else's QE around the planet. If everybody else shuts off and the Fed takes over, then the dollar is going to be devalued and gold's going to go higher. So the other two questions that I have for you, Doc, have to do with what we talked about. You mentioned earlier the note you saw on the site about just the blatant criminality throughout the system. How does that end, Doc? What I guess culpability or do the perpetrators have? Is there a way that eventually, outside of collapsing the system, that, you know, the system will actually be maintained into a new system? How do you see some of this playing out in the months and years ahead?
Well, you know, I wish I could be a big time optimist on this. I think we've had opportunities all the way up until 2008 when the system pretty close to came down.
Yeah.
To kind of reboot it with obviously some negative impact initially for a short period of time on the population. But I think the way the system is now, and it's only far worse, I believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe it's far worse today and far more leveraged today than it was in 2008. And I think that's by design. I think when the system comes down, I think there are two things that it can happen. Either the psychopaths of the world that we've identified are going to get ultimate control, or what's going to happen is that people stand up. I think they identify the psychopaths, and the psychopaths are marginalized, and we can talk about what that means. And that some leaders step up and help try to take more free market leaders take control of the system. And yeah, there's a reboot time, and how long that time is, I don't know. But where the system is essentially stalled, maybe there's a banking holiday for an X period of time. And many of these people that have been culpable for what's been going on over a number of decades, I would say since 1913, are held accountable in the appropriate manner, and the system reboots. And there's a period of time that's dicey, but yet, our military steps in, if you will, and more of a protective standpoint maintains the peace in that time period. I think it's going to probably be one or the other. And I don't, I think it's almost kind of, I know it's, I think it's either going to be black or white. And I do think that if the psychopaths get ultimate control, I think the probably the only way to describe way life is just think of the Dark Ages. And I think a lot of people die because I think the whole reason behind Obamacare was about getting control of the healthcare system and getting control of how people live and how they die. And that sounds very sinister, but I believe that's the case. And I have had enough experience in Washington and dealing from the Reagan administration all the way through that I think that's Obamacare is a step toward totalitarianism. And I think that I think I hope for a reset, and I hope for a reset one in which the psychopaths don't get further control and domination over the system, and that there is a reset and leaders step forward, and there is a period that's a little bit dicey and a little bit scary for everybody, but we come out of it better, and actually our freedoms actually enhanced and liberties enhanced in the long run.
Well, Doc, that dovetails into the final question I have for you before we get to the final four. And you kind of referenced it, this question in a sense, during that last answer. And it has to do with all of your extensive contacts and all your experience, as you said, in working in Washington and around Washington in as well with your private practice for the last 30 years. So this question is, what is your biggest concern slash fear as we head into 2017?
My biggest fear is that the totalitarians, the sociopaths, get complete control of the system.
What do you mean by that?
They implode the system, and people don't have the backbone to stand up against them or stand up for their freedoms and liberties, and they allow the psychopaths to get complete control of the system, and they actually clamor for more centralized control over their lives.
So you're
And
basically.
I think there's a segment of our population that is so dependent on government right now that they're okay with that, even though that means they're being led to slaughter in the long run. Because they don't want the check to keep to stop coming from the government. But I do believe, Craig, because of your efforts and some of the things we've done at the at Operation Freedom and DaveJanda.com, and some of the things we've done and other people have done, a lot of other people have done, in informing people of what's coming down the road to make them aware. I really, really believe Americans will step up and will ultimately win the, when they're pushed, they will step up. They will take these psychopaths on when they try to bring the system down, and the psychopaths will not win this. I really believe that's going to, I don't think we're going to end up in the Dark Ages. I think we're going to have a little tunnel to go through, but I think we're going to be better off when it's all said and done, because when push comes to shove, I think Americans are still the Americans that were there in 1776, and they're going to step up and they're going to beat these guys.
I hope so. On that optimistic note, my friend, why don't we segue into the final four? You know, those four fun, quick questions, just, wrap things up. I know it's your favorite part of the show. In fact,
It is.
I'm expecting next time I'm on Operation Freedom to get my own final four.
Oh,
I
well,
think
we could start that tradition.
you should take
Yeah.
it. All right,
Okay.
you shared with us the last time you were with us on A to A that your whatever it was great grandfather perhaps Mr. Yanda came from the
Yes.
area of the Czech Republic. You should actually be a billionaire beer tycoon right now. Unfortunately, he did not read the tea leaves correctly around Prohibition. So, Dave, since you're just a
True.
regular schmo like the rest of us, instead, what is your favorite beer?
Oh, So that would be from old. It's a small brewery in Pennsylvania called Old Forge. It's Old Forge Brewery, and it's they have a brew there that's a bit of a Pilsner beer, like my great-grandfather helped develop, called Celestial Blonde, and it is awesome.
I'm writing that down. Old Forge Celestial Blonde.
Yes, it's awesome.
Fair enough. All right. It's almost football season. You live in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mm. How many wins this year for the Me Chicken Wolverine football team?
We're going defeated.
Really? That's bold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Harbaugh's legit. Oh, yeah.
I can live with that.
How do you like that? Now, that's not sticking my neck out there, is it?
Oh, that gives you very little wiggle room. We'll take it. All right. That's perfectly fine. Number three. Will there be a Fed rate hike before the calendar flips to 2017?
Well, the smartest guy I know on this is you. And you have assured me that there's not going to be a rake in September, which I agree. And you know what? I really think no matter how much they want to jawbone this thing, I think things are going to be falling apart even more economically come the December. I don't think they can do it in December. I think we get none.
The only thing I would add, and it goes along with the topic we've covered here today, people should never forget that the Federal Reserve is not some benevolent, altruistic organization out there to help people. They are owned by their member banks. It's a private corporation. Therefore, they will do whatever they think is best for the banks first and foremost. So everybody should keep that in mind. Lastly, Doc, August 24th as we record this. Who will be the president of the United States on August 24, 2017? This being a rather subtle, nuanced question, meaning that, you know, it's not maybe as clear as some might think. Who will be the president on August 24th of 2017?
So 2 AAs ago, you asked me this question, must be about a year ago, and I gave you the answer, Joe Biden.
It's a good guess.
And I'm going to say this. As a practicing physician, I will say this. Hillary Clinton is ill. She is very, very ill. I still believe that she will not be one of the nominees on the ticket when the election occurs. I know it's late, and I know this sounds crazy. I believe she's very ill, and I believe that she would much rather leave the ticket and running for the presidency based on a health-related issue than a criminal issue.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer they keep Biden off, and I don't know how long it can go before they can not put him on, but the longer they keep him off, the better for Biden, because he's his own worst enemy in how he says things and what he says. I think he's actually, in person, I can tell you, he's even crazier than Trump. So the bottom line is that, you know, I think that if it's Trump against Hillary, I do think Trump will have the finances to make sure that the election isn't ripped off significantly from him. He could beat Hillary based on all the stuff that's going to be coming out further against Hillary. But I also believe that Hillary will not be on that ticket, and I believe they're going to slap Biden in there. And I stick by what I told you a year ago. I think if Biden's on the ticket, I think even though he's crazier than a crap house rat, I think people are going to say, you know what, I'll vote for old Joe before I'll vote for Trump, because I really don't know about that whole change thing. So I still stick behind my statement, and I know it's crazy, but I still stick behind my statement about Biden.
Good. It would be very good for the hair replacement industry. Big hair plug would be behind.
Yeah, the plug world would be really pleased about that.
Doc, I gotta shut us off. It's been a fabulous, though, 50 minutes, and I know everybody.
I thank you.
People are going to go, well, No, it's been.
I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for taking the time to come on my show because our listeners just love it on Operation Freedom. I thank you for everything that you do every day, Craig. I thank members of the Turdville because they all, with all their insightful comments, really make a difference. And I think that they, it is, as I said, I say every time you come on, it's the best website in the internet blogosphere. It's information you can get no other source. And it really makes you think. It really, every day, I go to it all the time throughout the day, and every post makes you think about stuff and think about maybe a little differently than you would have thought of otherwise. It's really a great resource.
Doc, thank you. And if I might pay the compliment back, Operation Freedom, indispensable every Sunday. And where you're headed into 2017 and beyond is going to serve us all. And I just appreciate all that you do as well. Thank you for coming on. We will no doubt do this again soon. I wish you a great remainder of your day, my friend.
And same to you, Craig, and same to all of our all of the members of Turdville.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll have another A to A soon.